earlier when I said, oh, this is a game at first seemed like something I could show my kids and be like, hey, they can watch this with me. That was until I saw the first death scene. Yar, 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 yar. Coin noises. Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where an actual garbage man plays games 20 years or older that you, the listener, chooses. Every week, I randomly choose a game submitted by the community to play, dissect, then discuss. But honestly, it's just an awesome excuse for me to play 20-year-old games in my spare time. I am your host, the Nature Boy, Berosa. The random wheel of retro must be on a PlayStation 1 kick, since, yet again this week, we dive into another obscure, interesting adventure title. But before we get into that, let's hit the water cooler and discuss about the going-ons here at Super Garbage Day Incorporated. Woo! Last week, I stated that all first impression videos will be included in the show notes. Then I totally freaking forgot to record the first impression video of Bubsy 3D. Shucks. What a missed opportunity, I guess. But moving forward, check out the links below to catch me playing the game of the week so you can put a face to the game's name. The September backlog eternal poll has officially ended, and the next time I must play a game to completion for the Patreon-only series, that is Golden Axe Warrior on the Sega Master System. Thank you to everyone who voted, and if you want to get in on that action, join our Discord. It's free. It's also in the mother effing show notes below. Woo! Speaking of Backlog Eternal, the next episode on Tecmo's Deception will be dropping soon. I'm having a hard time with the last stages of it, I have to beat the game. That's the rules. So once that game's beat, I can't wait to give a review. It is such an interesting game. It's so weird and different, and I can't wait. But here is a sample of the episode before Tecmo's Deception on Backlog Eternal, which was Gex 3 Deep Cover Gecko. This game definitely takes more, or should I say steals more from Banjo-Kazooie. If you hit the pause screen, I'm not kidding you. If you hit the pause button, this screen it shows you is shot for shot identical to Banjo-Kazooie's screen. It's crazy. So when you fire this bitch up, you're going to notice a couple things. If you're playing it on the N64, it's a little different. The major differences are frame rate and some levels. And that's it. The minor differences don't really matter, other than maybe sound design and all that. But one thing I noticed right when I fired up this game was it sounded really low, and I didn't know if that was my system or what I was playing it on. So let me show you. This is the same volume. I'm going to play two different games right now off the 64 and record the audio. This first one is Gex, Deep Cover Gecko, and the second one is Mario 64. They are both at the exact same volume. Listen to this. All right, friends, family, and other people I don't know, it is time for the retro questions of the week. Okay, the Eternal Tango asks, what was the first game that made you feel like video games were a legit form of art? So I immediately had an answer to this, but also did our dear friend of the show, Seek. So I will let them explain it better than I could. Seek We Yisdom says, Shadow of the Colossus is one of my favorite games of all time. Me too. I literally bought a used PS4 Pro a couple months ago just so I can play that remaster. I wish it was on the PC. When I first played the PS2 version back in 2007 on a 63-inch projection LED HDTV, humble brag, in 720p, my mind was blown. Fun fact, when I first played that game, I was working at Best Buy, and I got a really good deal on a projector, so we set up a projector in my front room, and that was the first game I played on a projector with surround sound. Bro, I feel you. That game is a work of art. Mortal Kombat Keef asks, what are your thoughts on tank controls? Well, I don't really have any thoughts on it. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Just like arcade games with those like rolling balls versus having a stick and buttons. But since this answer sucks, here are some tank puns to make up for it. Where do the smart fish hang out? A think tank. Why did the tank go to school? It wanted to get armed with knowledge. Do you want to hear what happened on Tiananmen Square? No tanks. Why did Disney decide not to make Toy Story 5? Because of no T-Hanks. All right, let's move on to what are you reading? So I've been on a big Cormac McCarthy kick lately, and I finished The Road, No Country for Old Men, and Blood Meridian in like 2 weeks. All audiobooks while I was out dumping trash cans. And I must say, I feel like a lesser human. I'm empty inside. My soul is left the body. They're really good books, actually. They're just really dystopian and kind of effed up. Blood Meridian in particular. No, I know normally this is the point where I tell you what I've been playing, but I've honestly just been playing the same things as last week, including the game of this week. So I just went with the books that I read. Cormac McCarthy, if you want to start with The Road. It is the least brutal of a lot of his work. No Country for Old Men is almost word for word like the movie, with some more insight, more like dream sequences. And Blood Meridian is a rough read, man. If you know, you know. They are trying their hardest to adapt it to a movie, but they just can't because of its brutality. Even though I heard that they are working on possibly making it into a movie, but I've been hearing this for about 12 years. So who knows, you know? Who knows? Who knows? That is like the worst Italian accent I can do. But I can do that. I'm Italian, so I can make fun of Italians. Bunch of wops. All right. This game's week was chosen from the Wheel of Retro. The submitter was the Tango Master himself, Fan Vernal. So the game is Corazón de Obscuridad on the PlayStation 1. Yeah! Heart of Darkness is a cinematic platform video game developed by French developer Amazing Studio for the PlayStation and Microsoft Windows. A Game Boy Advance port was announced in 2001, but it was never released. The game places players in the role of a child named Andy as he attempts to rescue his dog who has been kidnapped by shadow-like specters. The game has about half an hour of storytelling cinematic sequences, thousands of 2D animated frames, and uses pre-rendered background scenery. The game was supervised by game developer Eric Chagall, known for Another World, and also known for me mispronouncing his name, probably the worst he's ever heard it, this time with the team artists and developers. The game also features an original score by film and television composer Bruce Broughton. So, there you go. That was the game. I played it. I beat it this week. Let's get into first impressions. Okay, so you're kind of greeted to this cinematic of a kid in school, kind of having a crappy day at school with these very uncanny valley looking human bad CG characters with a scary teacher and tries to lock him in like a concrete hole in the wall, which I'm like, that's really illegal. Anyways, so his dog Whiskey gets pretty much kidnapped, and Andy, being some kind of kid genius, goes up in his treehouse, and which is full of gadgets and all these amazing things, and jumps through a portal via his advanced technology spaceship to a world where everything wants to murder him. My first impressions, once again, well, I mean, when I first played it versus now, kind of the same. Like, the CG intros are kind of like goofy, but they've not aged well. However, the game itself is amazing. Like the colors, the animations, the music, the sound, the backgrounds. It was just, it's just so, it's beautiful. So that's not much to say other than that. So let's jump into how you play this game within the gameplay section. So the movement is like almost fluid. This was before the analog sticks were incorporated into the PlayStation controller. So you're moving like a 2D action adventure platformer in the same vein of, say, Prince of Persia, or as I stated earlier, Out of This World, or Flashback, or Blackthorn. If you're familiar with any of those games, this is a part of that genre. Very cinematic. The movement's very, like, a lot of animation frames used for pretty much everything in the game. You start off being able to jump one direction or the other. You can run, you can walk, you can do a double jump that makes you kind of do a flip in the air, but I think you can only really do that standing still at first. And you have this like electronic gun and helmet that is freaking awesome. That gun is so dope in the beginning. And you're ultimately thrown in this alien world where these like kind of dark creatures that seem like silhouettes, and on top of like goopy silhouettes, but also shadows, will try to attack you. And death is pretty much everywhere. So this is one of those trial and error type games. If you're familiar with things like Abe's Odyssey, you got to learn every screen as you go. Sometimes being lucky that you got through a screen without dying, because there are a lot of cheap deaths. If you don't really get a lot of chances to fight off enemies, there will be scenes where they're kind of trying to gang up on you or grab you, and you might be able to shake them off. But for the most part, it's one hit deaths, or you might slip on some kind of area where you fall into it cuts like a CG death, or it's really difficult. It's actually probably one of the hardest, but shortest versions of these games. Then again, I haven't played Flashback, and I hear that game is really hard. The game does a ridiculous amount of checkpoints, almost sometimes being just one screen. You also are allowed to save anywhere in the game, which is great, because without that, it would make it even harder than it is. I think they knew that this game was going to be fairly difficult. But your point, the story and what you're supposed to do is go find your dog Whiskey, who was kidnapped by this weirdo alien thing and this giant fake Sauron character. And so you're traversing this alien world with your gun that you lose really quickly. And then it just becomes a matter of like trying to escape. And I feel the gameplay in the beginning, the first couple levels, because you start off like this mountain level, then it goes kind of like a jungle, then it goes like underwater, then it goes into like caves, then it goes in like kind of an alien prison area, and then like a big war and blah, blah, blah. I think it starts really strong, and it does a good job of explaining the mechanics and how you're supposed to move around. Sometimes giving you cues with like, maybe you'll see like a lizard on the wall crawling a certain area, and then that's how you realize that you can climb walls and jump across. However, the controls themselves aren't perfect. They are actually could be tighter. I played it originally on the emulator on my laptop with a 360 controller. And then I played I actually restarted it and beat the game on my PS Classic. And big difference. I mean, even just a little bit of latency changes everything, but still kind of loose, and there's still an input lag there. That can matter. Those milliseconds can honestly matter, life or death. And especially when you've made some leeway and you're frustrated when you die at the same part, and even if you're doing the same thing over and over and you know it's right, but just for some freaking reason, it just isn't working. That happens a lot. And ultimately, this is a puzzle game. This feels like a puzzle game, because most of the time you're just figuring out what you're supposed to do on the screen. Especially since they take away that gun so early, which I think was a bad move, to be honest. Having that gun, you should have that gun, I'd say like 70% of the game. But instead, it's the opposite. You have it for like 25% of the game, or 30. I think that it's really, starts off really impressive, very epically. You kind of feel like you're watching a little bit of a movie. At the same time, it's definitely a spectator game where somebody could sit on the couch and watch it with you. I made the joke when in my first impression that maybe my kids can watch this with me. And then I quickly realized, nope. And I'll explain later in graphics and audio why I quickly discovered that this was not a game for kids to watch, even though it's rated E for everyone. But by the time I finished the game, I had logged well over 200 deaths. The middle part of the game gets very repetitious, and it's this very, it's like this underground back and forth backtracking situation where you get this new power that's kind of like you touch a gem underwater and it gives you this like glowing, you can shoot green orbs or like have a charging blast, which is, it's still not nearly as cool as your gun, But you know, it helps fight off certain enemies, but it's mainly put into the game as a mechanic to just create more puzzles to solve. And I just found it being repetitious and boring in the middle part. And also hard. Like all the times that I died where the answer wasn't right in front of my face, where it was literally, I just had to like shoot for the stars and be like, oh, okay. So that's just what you have to do. Wonderful. So now every time I need to do this, it's kind of this leap of faith or time this perfectly after I've exhausted every logical way to get through. But of course, I'm complaining right now primarily about the middle part of the game. I feel the game starts and ends very strongly when it comes to gameplay, especially when you get your gun back, because you do get it back. Spoiler alert. But ultimately, the middle part is kind of a slog and it's just very unfair. And seeing as how this is kind of a spiritual successor to Out of This World, if I were to compare both of them directly just based off gameplay mechanics, I would give Out of This World, like, I'd give it the nod over this one, even though this one looks, oh my God, it looks so much better. So sometimes I found myself kind of being impressed by getting through some sections first try. And other times I found myself wanting to throw my controller against the wall, knowing that you have these moments of, they're not pixel perfect jumps or instances, but they're more of like ledges or specific areas you have to jump from to land in certain areas that are not clear. Cause you think with any kind of platformer, you can kind of just jump and guide your way onto the next platform. But this one's like precisely where you jump, you're most likely going to miss that jump and fall into the water and get eaten immediately, or fall off and see a stupid CGI video or whatever. It's not as tight as I remembered it. That's what she said. Let's talk about graphics and audio. So quite frankly, the graphics and sound and music and production value of this game is AAA for its time. Easily. Unbelievably well done, with an exception to its very aged and pixelated CGI scenes, which initially in the beginning of the game are kind of seamless, later on become interruptive. But the music is like symphonic and epic. The voice work is realistic and sounds wonderful, even if it's just the grunts of these creatures or Andy's like, hey. Sound effects were added perfectly to the environment. The immersion is totally there. It all matches the backgrounds, or if you're underwater, or if you're in a cavern, or you're on a mountain, you hear it and you feel it and you see it. Almost all the cutscenes are kind of uncanny valley. There are some weirdo characters. Like, I don't understand the Hispanic Jar Jar Binks guys named Amigos, but apparently they are the good people. Kind of reminds me of Out of This World when you come across that, like, initially that dopey guy that you're trying to escape the prison with. There's a lot of similarities in those two games, this game and Out of This World, I've noticed. But honest to God, it is a huge achievement in production value. And you can see, because apparently this game originally was being created for the 3DO, which I see. I'm like, this totally seems like a 3DO game, except it just looks way better. And then it moved from the 3DO to the Sega Saturn. But the Sega Saturn had a hard time. I guess its hardware wasn't working well with what this game was requiring. And so eventually it landed via Interplay on the PS1, where ultimately it's definitely a PS1 game. And it feels and it looks like a PS1 game. So that's kind of, even though it looks like a PS2 game, if PS2 games made like 2D cinematic platformers, if you just took out those really crappy CG pixelated cutscenes, this could pass for a PlayStation 2 game, but a very, very short one. Now, one thing I wanted to talk about is the gore in the game, because this game doesn't really have gore in the sense of blood and guts, but it's disturbing. So, you know, earlier when I said, oh, this is a game at first seemed like something I could show my kids and be like, hey, they can watch this with me. That was until I saw the first death scene. For some reason or another, the director of this game wanted to make sure that all the death scenes were like realistic, not in a sense of, like I said earlier, you're not going to see a lot of blood or guts or like any of that. It's just like the sound effects and the anatomy. For instance, you think of like Mortal Kombat 1 and Mortal Kombat 2 and some, maybe even Mortal Kombat 3, how the violence in that's pretty like campy and gory and silly and just like it doesn't really gross you out. This game has death scenes that made me feel very disturbed. For instance, there's these little wormhole trimmer guys that come and pop in and out of holes in certain levels. If they happen to grab you, an animation plays where it pulls you halfway into a hole and you see Andy's feet kicking and then you hear a crunch and his legs just go limp. Like the animal just bit his head off. Other times, these weird, I call them like Looney Tunes, demon-y Fantasia enemy guys, if they get a hold of you, they have multiple ways of killing you. Sometimes they just throw you entirely in their mouth and start crunching you, and you see parts of the body parts kind of like jumble up, like stick out. One time they'll start ripping you to shreds on the ground, where you'll see pieces of shirt and what I think is flesh. If the bigger enemies kill you, they like literally snap you in half and you just see it. It just breaks your spine. And then Andy just goes limp and he's like still kicking. It's gruesome. Like the CGI deaths that happen are far and few and they're not as bad. They're like Andy falling from a high distance, Wile-E coyote style. But the ones that happen naturally in the game they're just awful. And it's a little too much. Like we didn't need all that. And you know what it reminds me of? So, you know how The Last of Us, like the deaths in The Last of Us just take it a little too far. And you're like, okay, all right, that's too much. It's like that, except this game is rated E for everyone. And I think it was Van Fernal made the joke on when I was streaming this, where he said, no, it's rated E for eating children. I very much believe that. Very, very disturbing death scenes. And the game also has like a weird duality of childlike vibes and animations mixed in with like snuff film death sequences that just left me feeling odd and made me not want to die or see new death scenes. I think I even felt this way when I first played this game back in the late 90s, which because I believe this game came out, 97, 98? So, yeah. It's just a very bizarre aspect to the game. And you got to see it. Like if you're not going to play this game, at least go on YouTube and look up Heart of Darkness PS1 death animations. Cause it's up there with like that Tomb Raider game. Remember that new Tomb Raider game where they also went a little too hard in the paint on killing her, where she's like, things just jab through her jaw and it's the struggle. See, that's what I don't like in death scenes is like things struggling or like being tormented. Anyways, yeah, it's so weird that this would be such a focal part of this episode, but it is. One other thing I wanted to bring up too is that the mid to end point of the game felt really unfamiliar. I remember this game very, very fondly, and I remember loving it. But for some reason, when I got to the middle part, right before you get your gun back, which is near the end, which, by the way, is badass when you get that gun back. That's so cool. It's really, you just feel like, oh, yeah, let's go. And you get your dog. Oh, it's cool. I just ruined it for you. But it's not a long game. It's 2 to 6 hours, depending on how long it takes you. I played it on normal. I fell somewhere in the middle there. But for some reason, there's parts in it that are completely foreign to me and that I absolutely hated. And I thought, I don't remember having to do this. I don't remember this area. I don't remember having to go through these screens back and forth, up and down, back and forth, up and down, moving the seeds here, moving the seeds there, shooting this, shooting that. And then like running back as fast as I can to try to just get through the next section and being so annoyed. And I don't remember that. It's like almost like a Mandela Bernstein Bears thing going on. But something happened along the way where the game did not hold up for me, with an exception to, like I said, the beginning and the end. Even though it's beautiful and it has some of the best music I've ever heard in a PlayStation 1 game. And I know I've said that many times, but you listen to the music in this game. It was composed by like an Oscar winning composer. He's been nominated like 8 times. There's no way around it. The music is fantastic. So, catching my breath real quick, taking a drink of my water, and we're going to get to verdict. So let's go. So when it's all said and done, Heart of Darkness on the PlayStation 1 is a perfect rental game if you were to live in those times, because it's a weekend warrior game. It's not a game you want to own and replay over and over and over unless you wanted to speed run. But at the time that this game came out, nobody was really speed running unless you were a super weird kid. I just kicked the hell out of the desk. Sorry. It's very intense. It's very challenging. It's specific, I think. A lot of people would probably give up on this game about the mid range, because it starts to feel like it's not getting any different. It's getting repetitious and even more frustrating and hard. There's too much trial and error for the production quality of this game. It doesn't really match. It forces an abundant amount of like aha moments for you to like get through areas, but too many of those. I don't want to have to figure that out constantly just to get through a game, especially a shorter game. Super impressive beginning and end with a lot of annoyances in between. Like I said before, you must be a fan of this type of game to really enjoy it, but it's still weird and it's still really beautiful. It's just not as good as I remember. So Heart of Darkness on the PS1 gets a C- from me. Can you believe that? I didn't think that going in. I thought I was going to give it an A or B. Because this does have Hidden Gem written all over it, but after getting through it again, I don't ever want to play it again. So, let's spin that gosh darn wheel! Woo! All right, our game next week that I will be playing and I will be dissecting and I will be coming back and talking to y'alls about is a Super Nintendo game. Hey, it's not PS1 this time. From 1993, an arcade-style combat flight simulator? Oh, man. Game involves flying airplanes that test the player's Sidewinder missiles and machine gun firing skills against non-aligned nations. And I have never heard of this game. I didn't even know this game existed. And the game is called Super Strike Eagle on the Super Nintendo. Join us next week for that. If you want to become a patron, you can have access to all of our bonus episodes, which are Backlog Eternal and Retro Deep Cuts. Two wonderful shows, uncensored, so you can hear all the bad words, even though sometimes I find myself slipping some through with some shoddy editing on this main feed. But $2 gets you access to that. If you want to join the $5 tier, you get everything plus once a month. You get to add a game to this Patreon pool that I pull these games directly from to review every week here on the main feed. I want to thank all my patrons. You guys are awesome. You keep this whole show alive. This wouldn't happen without you. I have a couple shirts for sale on the merch. Link in my link tree, which is in the show notes. Please join the Discord. If you like the show, if you like what you hear, please leave us a good review on wherever you possibly can. And other than that, I love you guys. I'm going to go ahead and cut to B. Bye.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say everybody, guys, bye.